Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. What an incredible day. Even though we've had some beautiful sunshine this past week, we are very blessed to be able to have the rain that has come and has helped. I know without a doubt the ground is dry. It's helping our yards. It's helping the farmers as they plant out in those fields. And what a great time today as we celebrate Mother's Day. I cannot go past that. We're going to really speak into that a little bit this morning. But before we go in that today, I just want to touch base on a few things that's important as you're listening today on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. And again, I want to thank you for listening. Maybe you're traveling down the highway today. You have never picked up this station before or ever heard Vital Ministries. And I want to thank you for joining us today, participating. I hope it's something of what we speak today will speak into your heart, something that will give you a nugget today of inspiration and also to especially hearing what the Lord has to say to you today as He speaks through our hearts and what we read in Scripture today as well. Just a great time. Also, too many of you are headed on your way to church this morning. I want to thank you for listening. As you travel, be safe as you head to your local church. And also, too, thank you for those of you who have said, Mike, this is our church time. We listen to you every Sunday. I want to thank you so much. But before we jump into the teaching this morning, I just want to bring up a few things. You know, it always takes funding for us to make things work at Vital Ministries. It's just like any ministry. We are dependent on what people donate and what people give. And I don't ask very often, but if it's so inclined, if you would be willing to give a donation, we would very much appreciate it. You can go to vitalministries.org, check out our website, and you can find a place, how do I give, how can I donate? And I would very much appreciate that. And just pray to the Holy Spirit if that would be something that He would so want you to do in your life today. Also, too, we want to just remind everybody, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. My wife, she writes for Vital Life, and it is incredible. It is a short, impactful, powerful word that applies to life every day. And I want to encourage you, if that's something for you, that applies to everyone, you can go to vitalministries.org, download that app. You can get that sent on demand on your phone every day and even in your email. So I encourage you to do that. We also, too, speak to Vital Men, just for specifically for men. We have 5 different writers that send out and write things. And I encourage you, what a powerful word that is, that you get to hear 5 different thought processes of 5 different men who are giving you a devotional for your week. And I think that's just a great encouragement that will bless you at this time. But again, we're starting a new teaching series, and it's A Time to Roar. And as I was praying about that, it was looking about the things that was going on and trying to decide what is the next teaching series. And I really felt from the Spirit that it was time for our voices to be heard. It's time for us as Christians, as people of God, as people within our nation, it's time for us to allow our voices to be heard. And I think that's essential today as we look at Mother's Day. See, today is Mother's Day, a day in which we celebrate women, a day that we celebrate mothers. Mother's Day for some is hard for a loss of their own mother, and some aren't able to bear children, and some mothers have lost a child. And it creates a multitude of feelings within Mother's Day itself. And today I hope it's not a time as you look at Mother's Day, but is a day in which we look at to celebrate women themselves. I can remember a time as I was in ministry as a church, and I can remember making sure as I did the announcements that I made sure that Mother's Day was Woman's Day and all this, that, and the other. And I think it's just important for us not only to celebrate women themselves, but it's okay to celebrate mothers. I tell you what, it's important for us. It's important as we look at what women do, mothers do in our lives and how they speak into our lives and how they make changes for us. See, today I want us to focus on the strength of women and also their voices. I think of some great women in our own state and how they've made their voices heard. For one, I think of Governor Reynolds, who was leading our state well through COVID-19, and also to making our state, bringing it back to prosperous through industry and also agriculture. I think of Joni Ernst and what she has done as a woman and at the going to the Washington, D.C., and the level of influence that she has, and how God is delegating her and helping her in the midst of not only being a woman, but also being a mother, but also, too, leading a nation. I also think of someone close here. And again, folks, with an umbrella of mercy, I'm not sitting here this morning trying to say this is a place for you to vote or whatever. I'm just lifting up women that I know who have made a difference and continues to do some of the other ones. I think of our state representative, Holly Brink, which is right in our local level. Man, she is doing, she fights for families. I hear her passion. I hear her heart. She also speaks for right to life for unborn babies. We want to thank these women who do some incredible things. We also want to thank for women, I think, also serving at the local level, city council members, school board members, different ministries, being a voice from leading a state to leading a city to leading at home. We want to lift up women today of what they have done and the help that they do in creating us within our nation to be a godly nation, to be a God-fearing nation as they lead at being a woman themselves. My own mother, she led at the workplace, especially at home. She has been, you know, my mother has been gone. She's been deceased for over 15 years now. And to be honest, I miss her phone calls. I miss her encouraging words. And most of all, I miss her touch. I remember when she had first passed, when mom was gone. And I remember going in the very beginning, I would go into her bedroom. I'd love to go get some of the clothes that were in her closet. I would take them out. I'd touch them. I would smell them. And you might think, man, that is really weird. But what was interesting is each of us have a scent, a smell that we give off. And we know that smell, don't you? You think about that. Man, I know this person. I know my mom. I loved her very much. And I just love that part. And she made a great impact in my life. She was my mother. A woman who loved God and who served and loved her family well, all the way to the end. And I think today, my hope today is that we simply continue as we look at Mother's Day. You know, I don't want to be that what I would call that slide in teaching about what it means to be a mother, and also this pigeonhole thing of sometimes in teaching. Matter of fact, I actually had a different teaching ready for and prepared for us today. And I was awakened in the night and the Holy Spirit was really speaking to me to make a shift. So today we're really going to be trusting on the Holy Spirit this morning as we travel through. We're actually going to go to the book of Esther. And if you're home this morning, we don't get in that book very often. But this is a book that I find, we find some major themes of providence of God. Kings have issues and decrees, but God overrules and accomplishes his purpose in the midst of those things. But see, it's interesting, as we read in the book of Esther, we don't necessarily see God himself mentioned. The word king is found over 100 times in the book of Esther itself. The name of the king nearly 30 times was King Xerxes. But God's glorious name is even though it's a time in which he's not mentioned, but it's a time in which God used a woman immensely. See, the events that are described in this book of Esther is placed between sometime in 483 to 473 BC, before our Lord came. It was a time in which the Persian Empire was impactful, was in full control. They ruled the world at this time. The book of Esther fits between that we're going to find this morning of where Esther makes an incredible influence. She's even mentioned in chapter 6 and 7 in the book of Ezra. See, Xerxes ruled again from 485 to 465, and Esther became queen in 479 BC. At that time, the Jewish remnant was struggling to rebuild the nation in the Holy Land, as we see in Ezra. You can go in that book and see that in chapters 1 through 6. But the people were not totally committed to God himself. Much of this is true. God is, although his name is not mentioned in the book, he is present and active, just much like he is today. He was not hiding, he was only hidden. The book of Esther itself is one of the greatest illustrations of the Bible of the principles of heaven among people and among the earth. No one can stop our Lord and say to him, "What do you mean by the things that you are doing?" This means that we can trust him without fear and obey him without hesitation. For our God is loyal. Our God loves and he loves his people. See, this book, we're going to see that how God was caring for the people of Israel and fulfilling his promise that was clear back in Abraham that we see in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. Every enemy that has ever tried to exterminate the Jewish nation has been defeated. We've seen that throughout history. Mordecai comes close to identifying God's work behind the scenes in history on behalf of his chosen people when he tells Esther, if you keep quiet at a time like this, the deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. God has made an everlasting covenant with his people, and he will keep his part with them and keep the agreement. Now today, as we look at the book of Esther, we're going to see some interesting thing. First of all, King Xerxes has a wife by the name of Queen Vashti. She is come against the king. She won't enter his presence. She is actually being disobedient in such a time. So what happens is the king takes her out. He takes her from being the queen and then goes and looks for a new queen. So he goes throughout his nation, but he finds an interesting queen. He comes to a woman that he never quite would believe could be the queen of Persia at the time. See, as we read in Esther chapter 2, it says this, but after Xerxes' anger has subdued, he began thinking about Vashti, that was his queen, of what she had done and the decree he made. So his personal attendant suggested, let us search the empire to find a beautiful young virgin for the king. Let the king appoint the agents in each province to bring these women to him, these beautiful women, young women, into the royal harem and in the fortress of Susa. Haggai, the king's eunuch, was put in charge to find these women. So what we find is interesting is God's providence is at work. King Xerxes has left his first wife because of she was not submissive. She tried to overrule him, and because of that, she was displaced as being the queen. And God's providence, he raises a young woman. Now, a Jewish woman that King Xerxes does not even know that where she actually comes from, but God brings her to a place to where she would become before the queen. And it says that, and continuing in chapter 2, it says that Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace early in the winter of the seventh year of the reign. And the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was delighted with her, and he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. To celebrate this occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all the nobles and officials, declaring a public holiday for the providence and giving of a gorgeous gifts to everyone. Even after the young woman had been transferred to the second harem, Mordecai and his became a palace official. Esther continued to keep her place and her family background and nationality a secret. She was still following Mordecai's directions, just as she did when she lived in his home. Now, here's some interesting things. Esther, she is now positioned. She is taken from a home of Mordecai in a place in which she was actually hidden from, a place in which she was hidden from national events. And God put her into position, into a place, a providence, a place in which she was actually going to be used to save the nation, the Jewish people themselves. She does not know at the time, but God is using her. And that's what I love about so much about what we've got going on today. As we look at women, God positions women into places, and sometimes they don't even know the positioning of why they're there. And that is also true for good of women, and also to what I think is we've got a Jezebel spirit that is ranking high, that I believe that is happening in high places of our nation today, that God is using them as well. You might be asking, Mike, how can that be? Because we know throughout the Bible that God uses good kings and he also uses bad kings. He can do the same thing with women. He uses good women and he can also use bad women in order to get his providence done. And again, I'm going to ask for an umbrella of mercy. And I'm not saying, again, we need to look at what's happening in the midst of our nation to see how things are playing out. And it's important for us to realize who God is using and who God isn't using. And how we do that is, how I look at that is, what women that are placed in high positions are all following the word of God, following what his decrees, his laws, his things that he has put before us as a Christian nation, and also too in the midst of our lives as followers of Christ. I believe this, the women that are following what God's word is saying are really the women that God has placed to use for his providence. But also too, in the midst of that, I believe that God is using what I would say women who are not following his ways, and also too to follow his providence. And it's important for us to be prayerful. As you know, this past week we've had a time of prayer. And I can remember on Thursday, one of the things that actually popped up again was a place of praying for our current administration. And it's important for us as Christians, even though we may not agree, to pray for people who are positioned in high places. You know, my son reminds me, he says, Dad, you got to pray for those that are elected. Even though you may not agree with them, you still got to pray for them that God might intervene and use them in a way for his providence. And it's interesting, because sometimes our hearts can get hardened not to do that. You know what? If we think that they're not following the way that we want, or the way that we voted, or the way that we think, that we shouldn't pray for them. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It says throughout the Bible that we are to continue to pray for those that are authority over us. But it doesn't say that we have to agree. Doesn't say that we have to. This is kind of a tough place, but we don't have to submit to unlawful authority. And that's why I think it's so important for us to have our voices to be at a time of such as this to be heard. And I think that's what was going on with Queen Esther. You know, we can see throughout, we see a man who comes in a place, a man whose name is Haman. He hates the Jewish people. Matter of fact, he wants to place them to extermination. And we see Mordecai, he's placed in loyalty to the king, so he's hearing some things. But let's see some things that are happening, starting with verse chapter 3. It says, sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, son of Hamathah and Agatha, to nobles, making him the most powerful official in the empire. See, God places a bad man into a place of authority. We see that, again, right in the Bible here. And it says, all the king's officials would have to bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed. By, for the king had commanded, but Mordecai, see this? Now this is interesting. In a nation, everyone was bowing with the exclusion of Mordecai. It says, but Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. He was placed in authority. That's substantial for us today to think about that. It says, then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why are you disobeying the king's command? They spoke to him day after day, but still he refused to comply with and to the order. So they spoke to Hanan about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had been told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down to show him respect, he was filled with rage. He had learned that Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the entire empire of Xerxes. See how God's hand is used? God has placed Haman in a place of authority, but I see where Mordecai refuses to bow and does not respect a man who does not follow God himself. And that puts us in a place of even today of how we look at that, even in the midst of Mother's Day, of how it's important for us to realize that God places incredible both men and women in authority, some bad, and some good? And what is our position as Christians? How do we follow through in this appointment of what is going on around us in such a time as this? So it's interesting. So Haman, he goes out and he puts out a decree and he finds a way to which he can exterminate all the Jews because they are not bowing down to Haman. Because again, he is filled with rage, and I believe with all that's within me, God placed that in his heart. So we see this, he makes a decree. So he found a way, he says, he makes a decree, an order, that all the Jews, young and old, including the women and children, must be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated on a single day. And this was scheduled to happen March 7th of the next year. The property of the Jews would be given to those who killed them. So he was enticing, Haman was enticing these people to go out and do, get rid of these people because they wouldn't bow down to him. But also too, if they would do that, they would get their land, their money. So he made this decree and it was proclaimed without King Xerxes' understanding of exactly what was going on. And the very queen that loved him, his wife, was a Jew. See, Mordecai, he learns about this and all that was going on. But he finds a place. He goes and he requests Queen Esther to come. It says, when Queen Esther, maids and eunuchs, came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the burlap that he refused. See, Mordecai went into a place of prayer. He put on burlap because he knew what was happening within his nation. He was perplexed by what was going on. And Mordecai came and shared with Esther what was going on. And he told Esther that she had to go and to speak to the king. It says that she was to go and speak to him. And she was pushing back a little bit because she was afraid. And Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. She said, don't think for a moment that because you're in a place of the palace that you will not escape this. And this is an interesting thing he says to Esther. He says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. See, God puts us in a place of providence. He puts women in a place of providence in our lives sometimes, and even in the midst of a nation, to speak what is truth. And I want to encourage us today, we need to get behind these people that are in authority, these women that are placed in authority, all the way up into the place of high administration, all the way up to senators and state representatives, and let them know we are behind them in such a time as this, that their voice needs to be heard, their voice needs to be spoken out in the midst of the darkness of what the enemy is coming against, that's coming against our nation. Trying to take our nation from being a one God serving nation to a godless nation. Folks, if you cannot see that in such a time as this, then we are blinded by the ones that, even the ones that are trying to speak, that we no longer need to be God, and unlawful rule needs to happen in the midst of the nation. The very fabric in which our forefathers came. They opened the Bible themselves and looked for the laws and the decrees from God to orchestrate our nation. And God used great men and women all the way back in such a time as he is today. So what does Esther do? She makes a request. She goes to the king. See, she could have lost her life of even making a request, but she does, and she goes before the king. And she tells the king of what Haman is about to do. And so she goes and she speaks to him and she makes a request and she lets the king know of what Haman's intentions were. And what happens is that God allows King Xerxes to listen to Esther, her voice. She is strong. She is allowing her voice to be heard. She goes before him and lets him know what's happening. And I find it interesting that God uses her in such an incredible way. And what happens is eventually is there's a banquet that's being held. And Haman is thinking he's going to be placed in a place of honor, only to find out later that he was going to be the one that was going to be killed. He was the one that was going to pay the price for what was happening. So what happens is, it says this. It says, during the banquet, King Xerxes says this. He finds out what Haman is up to. So he makes a decree, and he says, impale Haman on it, the king ordered. So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. See, God helped and gave a decree that helped a nation. They were about to be exterminated, all because of one man's hatred toward the Jews. See, folks, we live in such a day as this. There is great hatred against God and against Christianity and against Christians. It's a time for us, as it was a time for the day in Esther, to allow our voices to be heard. As in the midst of Mother's Day, as we celebrate women today, I encourage us that we must lift up these women who are placed in high places of authority, encourage them and pray for them, help them to live out and to be a voice for God's truth, to lift them up. It's a time to allow our voices to roar in such a time as this, as it was for Esther, as it is for us today. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you again for allowing us to come before you today, to open up your word, to look in the book of Esther, of how you elevated a woman, Queen Esther, to a place of authority, that her voice going before the king saved a nation. Lord, today we need those voices to be heard as well. Our nation is spiraling down to godless nation. The very fabric and the very foundation, Lord, of which we stood in your, of the Bible itself, is being stripped away. Lord, I pray today that you help us to stand in such a time as this. Help us to have women to across the land will be like Queen Esther. They will stand and allow their voices to be heard as we celebrate Mother's Day. Lord, we thank you for mothers. We thank you for women. We thank you for those that are placed in authority, and we pray for them. And we thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, we're going to continue this series. It's a time to roar. Next week, we're going to talk about a voice that roared in the midst of the wilderness. We're going to look at John the Baptist, the predecessor of Jesus himself. You won't want to miss what God is speaking to us as we allow such a time as this for our voices to roar. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.